Good morning. Real quick, shout out to Trish after doing that stand-up routine. I appreciate you, because now I only have to talk for 7 minutes. And then church will be out. No, I'm just kidding. Good morning, though. I'm happy to be here. My name is Brett Harada, and I serve part-time on the staff here. I help lead and serve the youth, and so I had to take some PTO to not be out over there and be up here. No, I'm just joking. But today, it's a little different. I feel like what God put on my heart, service will be a little different. The first part of it, I wanted to share what we've been doing in the youth. Just to give you guys a little bit of a preview or an insight to what we've been doing. And I think that'll lead into our message well. And so let me just open up with a word, and then we will get started. God, I thank you for today, this Sunday, where we can gather as your sons and daughters, as your body, God. And so I just ask that my words would be yours. Would they bring life, God? And would we just all feel more connected to one another and to you, God? And so I love you. I pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. So with the youth, we've been going over this series for quite a while. Actually, you know you're doing a good job with the youth when you're going over a series and you ask them what they think about their series and you get some good feedback, and you always get that one youth. This one youth raised their hand. It's like, okay, what'd you think? I think this series should be over. I said, amen. All right. Don't worry. We're wrapping it up. We'll be moving on to the next one. But in all seriousness, I feel like the theme that we just went over is probably one of the best themes that I feel like I've been able to be a part of. Convicting for myself, but also just being able to pour into the youth. And so this theme we've been going over is known, heard, and seen. And as I've reflected in my preparation, it's actually a big heart of mine in why I'm actually serving the youth. I believe it's a part of my mission, and my perspective in the youth is to be fully known by God, to be fully heard by God, and to be fully seen by God. You know, during this time, we've had guest speakers. We've had people share testimonies on how they've experienced this. We've done different activities, like, how do you see me? We went to each other and asked, how do you see me? It was a little weird for them, but had to get them out of their comfort zone. We spoke life into each other, give words of encouragement, learning how to speak into somebody, practicing and learning how to listen. Yes, you guys, you parents, I trust me when I say we have practiced listening, even if you don't see it at home. It is something that we have gone over. We spent time with God, wrestling with Him, identifying and addressing obstacles or blockages that could be stopping us from receiving from Him. The high schoolers went on a retreat, and thematically it was on dating, sex, relationship, but through the lens of covenant. How did God intend all of those things for us? And the youth actually took turns on First Friday, our youth group. They took turns. I broke them up in different age groups, and they took turns actually leading the whole night, from games to the lesson and teaching to whatever they wanted to do to be a part of this theme. And so I asked them this past, maybe not this past Friday, but the most recent youth night we had, what were some of your takeaways from this series? And as I was reading them, I was like, man, the rest of our church needs to hear and see the ways that they've been impacted, the ways that they have been known by God, heard by God, and seen by God. And so I put up a couple of them. Some of them are kind of put together. But this first one is from a couple of high schoolers. And they said, one takeaway that I had was knowing that even when I'm struggling and in pain, God hears and sees me. The next one was a middle schooler and a high schooler, and they said that I gained a greater understanding of the depth of God's love, that we can go to Him for anything, and He can even use things that don't go as planned for good outcomes. And this last one was one from another middle schooler and high schooler, and they said, one takeaway allowed me to focus on my intentionality with others, connecting more, and even thinking of small things that I can do to make others feel known, heard, and seen. I felt so blessed by that, not because a lot of the teachings came from me or anything like that, But just to see the ways that the youth have been impacted and take some of these things, these real experiences, these truths that they get from the Lord to heart and then apply it to their own life, I feel like that's greater than anything that I could have already done. So why do I share this with you? Well, one, I share this with you so that we could all be connected. I think it's important that you guys understand what we're doing with the youth and vice versa, that the youth, when I teach them, a lot of times it's aligned with the stuff that we're going on in the church, and I feel like we are one body, and so we all need to be connected. But then two, this theme, these takeaways, it's not just the youth thing, right? As much as I take maybe an adult theme or lesson or concept and teach it and bring it to the youth, I treat them the same way that they're adults, right? Steph always says there's no junior Holy Spirit. And so with them and what we've been over with the theme, it's for all of us, right? This is all of our mission, both individually and collectively. How do we help make other people feel known, heard, and seen? And so today we're going to dive into it a little bit. So the way that we're going to go into it is we're going to start with the Great Commission. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the Great Commission. I'm going to read it real quick from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm reading out of the ESV. And it starts with, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I'm going to read it one more time. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And so we're going to break this down. Right? Jesus, for me personally, Jesus starts off with a banger of a statement. Right? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I mean, that's a mic drop moment in itself. He's telling you, everything has been given to me. And then right after that, he jumps in and says, "Go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations." And that's where we're going to pause first. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You know, when I first heard the Great Commission, and I'm sure many of you might have felt this way, when you hear this, you hear it about missions and mission trips, and rightfully so. I often assume that the go meant it's this imperative command. You have to go. You must go travel somewhere unreached. You must go where no one knows Jesus. That is where you're supposed to go make disciples. And I don't know about you, but when I first heard that, I was like, not today, Lord. Right? Out of all nations. This is make disciples of all nations. So in my mind, I'm like, that means it can be anywhere. Like anywhere. And that's scary. It automatically makes me feel a little bit ill-equipped. No, I can't baptize people. I can't preach the gospel. I can't deal with people. What am I going to eat there? How am I going to sleep? Do they have bathrooms? Right? We automatically go to all these places right from the word go. God is calling us to go out. That is true. But the go isn't necessarily only referring to leave somewhere far away and foreign. You know, I think oftentimes we get stuck on the go. Right? We get stuck with, where am I supposed to go? We think of the first place we don't want to go to. Right? I've heard some testimonies from people here at church that have gone on mission trips, and oftentimes their story says, "I just told God I just don't want to go there." What ends up happening? They end up going there. So just for a word of advice, if there's somewhere you don't want to go, keep that to yourself. No, I'm just playing. But God works in mysterious ways. But it had me think, after this, where did the disciples go? Right? After they've been commissioned, they've been empowered, God just said, I have all authority, and now it's time to go. I'm sending you guys off to go. I'm commissioning you to go and make disciples. Where did they go? I was like, man, they must have packed up, went home, said bye, and they were just off on the road. They were gone, maybe never to be seen again. Do you know where they went? After Jesus just told them, I have all authority, now go, they went back to their hometowns. They went back to the communities that they were in. They didn't just pack up and leave and all of a sudden disappear, and it's like, well, I hope they're making disciples, but I don't know. They went around and told what they knew exactly where they were in. They went to the places that they would normally be in and were able to speak there. And so part of this go, yes, God may call us to go somewhere, but the way that the disciples would have heard this go is more in the lines of, here we go. Jesus had told them to go and do stuff before. It did include some physical traveling, but sometimes it was more casual, right? Like, this may not be the best example, but this is the only thing that I can think of, so bear with me. It's like when you see your girlfriend, and I'm talking from girl to girlfriend, and she's about to go out or go somewhere, right? I know, Trish, you be saying this. You're like, you go, girl. In a way, you're telling her to go somewhere, but you're not necessarily telling her, like, you gotta get out of here, right? Or in sports, right? Tom Brady or these guys, a lot of people, I know we were playing basketball with the youth, right? They make a shot, let's go. Where are we going? You're still playing the game, but it's more of this casual, like, okay, it's time to go. And so to frame it for you guys, this is what I've learned and believe it was. This go implied that Jesus was telling them, you have been with me, you have known me, you have heard me, you have seen me, you have followed me, you have chosen to pack up your things and follow me, now it's your turn. You know what to do, so go do it. And so how are they supposed to do this? How are they supposed to go and make disciples? It's the next part of the Great Commission. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is the how. This is how we make disciples of all nations. Baptism. Right? It's giving your life to Christ, aligning both your physical and spiritual with that of Jesus. But that's not all. Right? When we think about missions trips, oftentimes it's to go save people or make sure that people have salvation, and that's great. But that's only half of what Jesus is talking about in making disciples. The other half is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I don't know about you, but when I hear keeping commands, there's a couple things that come to mind right away. First is the Ten Commandments. Right? The Ten Commandments, what were they? They were law, but actually they were personal words given so that God's followers could actually relate to him. Right, the Ten Commandments, the way that we see law today are like rules to follow. Most of the time it feels strict or cold. It feels like, no, this is what you have to do. There's no ifs, ands, and buts around it. But this law was a personal, maybe not letter, but a gift to God's people. You know, in other religions comparatively around this time, there was many gods, right? There's a bunch of different religions going on in the ancient Near East. And so what made Christianity or following Jesus different? Well, the other religions, the other people worshiping, oftentimes they didn't know what they were supposed to do. Some of their worship was like a guessing game, and it could change from day to day. Like, oh, you're supposed to go do this because it brings God glory. But then the next day it's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're actually supposed to do this. And so God giving the law right? And it's greater than the Ten Commandments. He goes, in the book of Exodus, he goes through a bunch of different things. It's actually a gift of freedom. Because when you know how to worship the God that you're following, what a relief that is. I don't have to worry. If I do this, is he going to smite me? If I do this, am I going to be punished? It's like, no, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to follow the Lord, how I can give him glory and praise, how I can honor him, how can I live the ways that he's calling. That's freedom. Right? We think in our eyes, freedom is I can just do whatever I want. Okay, there might be a little bit of truth to that, but the freedom that God gives is, hey, I have all authority over heaven and earth, and I'm giving you, this is how you can worship me, this is how you can partner with me, and if you do that, I'm pleased. And so the Ten Commandments, keeping the things that God has for him, if you look at them too, the first four, you can look at it this way. They are kind of like expectations in your relationship with God, right? We think of them as law and they're like finality statements, but if you look at it through the lens of relationship, all of them fit. The first four are an expectation with your relationship with God, and the fifth one kind of hinges on being a relationship with God, but also honoring your father and mother. And that is a direct correlation to honoring God. And then the last five can kind of be categorized as expectations with you and others in relationship. I won't go into it too much, but if you ever have time, the Bible Project has a fascinating study on the Ten Commandments. And there are these implicit and explicit meanings that come into play. I won't spend too much time on that, Damon. Maybe you'll have to book me for the podcast and we can talk about that. When I think about commands, I think about when Jesus was answering to the Pharisees, right? They try to get him trapped. They want to try to get him in trouble, and they ask, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commands are also very relational. They're about your relationship with the Lord and the relationship with others. Now, all these commandments probably have a different tone than what we're thinking about of keeping law and keeping commands. But I think it points to just how important it is to have a barometer of our relationships. In the Great Commission, it talks about not only teaching them these commands, but observing that they're able to keep them. And so what does that mean? It means it can't just be something where you go and you dump a bunch of knowledge to someone and then you leave and say, okay, good luck doing all of that. It's teaching them to observe it, how to keep it, to know it, to understand it, to be able to hear them explain it. Right? How does discipleship work for us today? When you walk with someone, it's not just like, hey, do this. And then it's like, okay, I'll see you later. When you're walking with someone, it's, hey, maybe you should think about this. It's first giving them the understanding. And then it's like, hey, do you have any questions or do you know what you're doing? You want to hear it from them. And then you want to see them do it and live it out. And so for us, in keeping the commands, a couple questions that came to mind are you keeping these commands? Am I keeping these commands? Are these things that we are living by and teaching others? Do our actions reflect this? And so with the Great Commission, it seems like a heavy task. When you think about it, it's really weighty, right? That God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, would use us to go and make other disciples. I know for a fact, I was just telling my wife before I came up here and spoke, I was like, I don't know why I'm speaking. I feel like I'm regular. Like, I don't know any more than the next person. And so to think that God would call me to go and make other disciples can feel daunting. I get it. I don't speak these words as if I have it all down. I'm convicted and working through it just as you guys are. But the last part, I think, helps wrap up the Great Commission so well. Jesus says, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. In all of this, you are not alone. You have been fully known, heard, and seen for the entirety of your life, before you even knew it yourself. God didn't leave you then, and so he's not going to leave you now. His commissioning isn't that so he could just sit back and relax and be like, all right, I did my part, I'm all done, hands off, you guys go do whatever. He's not saying, I don't want to do any of the dirty work, you guys do all the busy work. God is active, and he wants to partner with us in all that we do. It starts with him and it ends with him. It's crazy how much authority that the Lord has, but also how personal he can be. He wants to have a relationship with you so much that he would die for you. He wants to have a relationship with you so much that he's willing to walk with you in whatever season you're in, no matter what. To be completely honest, this season of my life has probably been one of the most difficult seasons in my life. And by what I'm about to share is definitely not to draw attention to my story, but it is to show that even in the most difficult times, and even some of the hardest times to believe that God fully knows, hears, and sees you, he does. And so my wife and I, we have been married for 5 years now. Okay, she didn't give me a look, so I got it right. And it's been awesome. Marriage has been so great. To be honest, there's also been a lot of difficult times, a lot of learning. And I think one of the things that we were most excited about was being able to start our own family. We have been trying to start our family for 3 years, and we experienced a miscarriage. And so it's been around two years since then, and we have not been able to conceive. And I know, and I'm so thankful for so many of you guys that have been praying for us, that have been walking alongside us, that have been checking in, that have been there for us, and just even your guys' willingness to share your story and your journey with us. It's so unfortunate that it's so common and happens to so many people, but through this experience, I know my wife and I have really felt like we are known, seen, and heard. You know, there's times where it's very easy to question, does God really hear me? Right, one of my deepest desires is to be a father and to have my own kids. And so us not being able to, us dealing with miscarriage, at times feels like a direct, God does not hear what I want. It feels like a direct, God does not see me where I am. That God doesn't know what my wife has to go through or what we have to go through. God, you don't understand what it's like to struggle. You don't understand the tension that we deal with and how joyous we are for others, but yet in our own situation, we're not going to be fake about it either. So many times, many of you included in this room have given us a prophetic word, a word of encouragement, and none of you, like, you know, in maybe my conspiratorial brain, I'm like, oh, maybe they all gathered and they talk and they're like, hey, next week you give them a word and then a month later I'll give them a word and then they'll feel encouraged. But no, that's reality of it. That's not how it works. There's people who didn't even know our story that have come up to us and told us, hey, I feel like God wants to say this to you. And sometimes my wife and I just have to look at each other like, this is weird. Like, how, like, did you tell them about what we're going through? Like, no, did you? No. How do they know? I don't know. Did Pastor Barry tell them? Oh, I don't think so. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. We always come back to, wow, God really does see us. God really does hear the cries of our hearts. God really knows the joys that we're experiencing, the pains that we're going through. And he doesn't just know it to a simple degree, he knows it fully. And so I definitely want to take this time to just express my gratitude to our church. I love you guys so much, and just your guys' willingness to come alongside and be an extension when I know for myself, I didn't feel like God knew or heard or have seen me multiple times throughout this season. But you guys have been an extension to remind me of that and for me to be able to experience that myself. And so for that, I definitely want to say thank you. And so what does that mean for us? What does the Great Commission mean for us? What does God fully knowing us, hearing us, and seeing us, what does that mean for us? Well, there's a few implications and applications that I believe that this covers. Now, I want to start off by saying this. Some of you may be called to go to a foreign land, a faraway place. Some of you have already received that call. And honestly, more power to you, that you are already in that place, in that journey, making disciples, investing in the people that God has around you. But I also want to say others may not have. You may be sitting there and saying, I don't really think I'm the person or the type that's supposed to go on missions trip. I'm not sure if I'm the person that, you know, is going to go and preach or save people or baptize people. And I want to tell you that's okay, because maybe you're not. But because wherever God does have you, that's where he's calling you to make disciples. This Great Commission applies to all of us. If you are a follower of God, then you are included in this. And so one way that you can do that, are you making people feel known, heard, and seen in the communities and places that you're in? It doesn't have to be anywhere different, right? It could be at your school. It could be at your workplace. It could be when you're at the park. It could be when you're at the grocery store. It can seem overwhelming or such a big task to feel like you have to go make a disciple and baptize someone and save someone. But part of your job is just to plant the seed and make others feel like they're known by God. It's your job to point them to who makes you feel known, heard, and seen. And so that's the first implication and application, that we're all included in this, and that wherever you are, whether you are called to travel somewhere else, or you're just here at home with your family and friends, that's your mission field. That's where God wants you to make disciples. Second implication and application, God isn't just in the business of saving souls and lives, but transforming them. I'm going to say that one more time. God isn't just in the business of saving souls and lives, but transforming them. Don't get me wrong. It's great. It's one of the best things that you can give, the gift of salvation. Right, we want people to accept Jesus into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. We do. But if you think about it, that's really just the beginning. Right? When you get baptized, you're born again. You're new. Right? It's a declaration of understanding that you are surrendering your life to the Lord, and now it's new. And so there's a lifetime of sanctification, of growth, of refining, of diving deeper into your relationship with God. See, through all that, God is a redeemer. He's a healer, a provider, a miracle worker. And the crazy thing about it is, it's not like God, he can just do those things. He wants to do those things. God wants to bring redemption. He wants to heal. He wants to provide. He wants to make miracles happen. And it's not just because he can, it's because he wants his people to experience that. He wants people's lives to be transformed with his love, joy, and peace, and all the things that he intends it to be. And so when you are out there making disciples, when you are making people feel heard, known, and seen, it is an investment in helping transform lives. Not only will they get the gift of salvation, but they will get to experience a taste of what God wants for us here on earth, that they don't have to wait until heaven. And I do want to say, I don't know how it all works. You might say, well, you know, how does salvation actually work? And what about people who are at the end of their life and they just received Jesus? I was sitting with that because I've experienced it recently in my own life and in my own family. And maybe them receiving Jesus is as far as they get in their sanctification process, but that's okay. And for others, receiving Jesus here on this earth with a whole life to go, you get to start experiencing that then and for the rest of eternity. And so the last thing, as a follower of God, you are called to follow, obey, and grow in your discipleship of Jesus. This is a call for all believers, right? That's why at church we have small groups, Bible studies, tea huddles, meetups, community events, outreach opportunities, game nights. All of those things are important to helping us grow in our discipleship of Jesus. Some of you may feel ill-equipped to share Jesus, to share with, I don't feel like I don't know enough. I actually told my wife, I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough about this to be able to speak. I was talking with a friend, and he spoke this over me that really helped me today to be able to speak today. And he said, you know, when Peter, after Jesus passed away and came back, Peter had this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, of course I love you. So then Jesus responds by saying this, then take care of my sheep. He asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, God, how many times do I have to answer you? I do love you. He said, okay, then go feed my lambs. Right? He does that three times, and Jesus continues to tell him, then go feed my lambs. So as much as I was convicted and blessed by that, I want to let you guys know, your jobs are just to go feed the lambs. You don't have to be the one that knows every single thing in the Bible and be able to answer every single question and you do all the converting. That's God's job. Your job is to go take care of the sheep. Your job is to be able to go feed the lambs, and a big way of doing that is for you to better understand how God fully knows, hears, and sees you. Because when you experience that, you will be able to share that with others and allow them to have that same experience. And so I want to jump into a quick activity before we close our time for worship. Pastor Barry does this in his Hearing God's class, and I feel like it's appropriate for us to experience us fully being known by God, heard by God, and seen by God. And so the activity is just for you to sit with the Lord. And the question that you want to ask yourself or ask God is, God, how do you see me? And I already know, because I was one of those people in that class that said, oh, this question is hard. I don't even know if I hear God. I don't even know, da, da, da. Well, I provided a Bible verse that you can sit with, that if you feel like you're having a hard time connecting with the Lord or feel like you don't hear with the Lord, this is part of God's word that he is speaking over you. And so if you don't feel like you get anything from God, you can get something from Ephesians 2:10. That you are a part of his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared for you beforehand, and that we should walk in them. So as we close, before the worship team comes up, I want you to sit with asking God, how do you see me? Because I'm pretty confident that he will answer you, that he will show you, and he will use that for you to be able to connect and make a disciple, to have an impact on somebody else. And so why don't we take a couple minutes to sit with the Lord, and then I will close us in prayer and invite the worship team up. You have your eyes closed, you can keep them closed. I just feel a sense in my heart that if you need to hear this, then please receive this. God made you to be a person of life and love. God purposely made you to be a person of life and love. And so share that. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It doesn't have to be super eloquent. It doesn't have to always fit everything perfectly. It doesn't have to look a certain way, but share the life and love that God has given you. So I'll close our time in prayer, and I'll ask the worship team to come on up so that we can worship a God who fully knows, hears, and sees us. God, I thank you. I thank you for being a God that is all-knowing. I thank you for being a God that sees us in our lowest lows and celebrates us with us in our highest highs, God. I thank you for the ways that you want to bring transformation to our lives. And so, God, I just ask that you give us the strength, the confidence, the boldness, the courage, the laughter to go and make disciples, to go and have an impact in the communities that we're in. God, and that if you call us to go somewhere, we are so excited to follow. and to do the work that you have prepared for us, to go and help people feel like they're seen, help people know that they're heard, to make others feel like they're known by a God who would die for them. And so, God, I just ask that you continue to bless our church family here. Would we be able to sharpen each other, encourage each other, walk with each other, knowing that we're not doing this alone, that we can do this together, and we can do this with you, God. And so I just pray that you bless the rest of this day as we have our healing service, as we step into our kids' camp this next week, as we go on to our small groups and our basketball games and our classrooms or whatever it is, God. Would we be able to go out and make more believers and followers and tend to your sheep? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.